Hello and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. I am here today with my partners Ryan Burnett and Matt Lockhart, which I'm excited to be focused on a really, really interesting podcast about kind of preparing your business for sale during tumultuous times and what should you do in managing the risks and uncertainties of those times moving forward. If you've tuned in to Revenue Rocket in the past, you know that we are the world's premier growth strategy and M&A advisor to IT services companies. And if you don't tune in regularly, now you know. So, Ryan, Matt, welcome.
And wouldn't it be awesome to hear from any new listeners out there? And if you are, so, you know, get in touch. We'd love to chat with you. We also get ideas for these podcasts from listeners and new listeners. And so, get in touch and good to have you. And man, great time of year. We're squarely rolling in the fourth quarter. Have it been interesting? I know we're talking about selling your business in some uncertain times, which we're living in a little bit right now. And, you know, we bring it up because we've actually had some new customers come in. And when it's time to sell, especially for a lot of these founder-led businesses. So super interesting topic. Ryan, what's going on?
Yeah, I agree. It's a great topic, and I'll echo your sentiments. If you want to contact us, feel free to send us a note, info@revenuerocket.com via email. Feel free to follow us on social channels as well. We're always available on LinkedIn, and happy to talk about any ideas that you may have. And thanks for our loyal listeners. We hear from you often and appreciate that. Yeah, this is an interesting topic. You know, if we look at the macroeconomic conditions right now, I would say uncertainty is a great word. There's been ups and there's been downs. And when we look at profit and loss statements that have been coming in through the year, some P&Ls are a little soft in their where they're at. So part of what we look at is when you're trying to get the most value out of your business and you're trying to find the best suitor, going to market in a more tumultuous time can have a few impacts. And it's not necessarily going to impact your valuation if you play things right. So I want to walk through with Mike and Matt here today just on some things to consider and things to watch out for when markets are a little bit more tumultuous. So Mike, why don't you get us going?
Will do. So as Ryan mentioned, if you've had a bit of a softer year or down year, I think some of our clients have, and you're contemplating an exit, you know, many folks are like, well, maybe now's not the right time. You know, maybe there's a lot of downward pressure on valuations because of the increased interest rate environment. We've had a down year. We got to wait till we improve our financials. I think, you know, there's a lot of things that you need to think about if those are the thoughts that are going through your head. You know, one for sure is what is your timing, right? You know, if you're contemplating going to market, is that because you have an impending retirement or you're looking to move on to do something else? Or maybe you're looking to fortify and de-risk the business through a recapitalization effort, you know, selling a position to private equity, for example. All of those things may kind of outweigh the gravity of your current performance, and may still portend that you should move forward. I think there's a misperception amongst owners that if I've had a few soft months or if my business growth this year has been flat, that it will have this wild or dramatic impact on my valuation. And that's just not factual. I think when you think about your valuation, you look at it on a much longer tail view. I think most buyers would as well. You know, how's the business performed over the last 5 years, for example? What is the expected outcome and forecast for the next 5 years? And sort of what is that trend line are all really important. I think those outweigh, from a valuation perspective, the impact of, the near term performance. Now, I don't want to defend if you're going down and you're shrinking. Certainly that will tamp the appetite and propensity for, a more guaranteed deal structure, or what we'll call an optimum deal structure and price. But it doesn't mean that you can't facilitate a deal, and certainly can't facilitate a deal where there's what we'll call a gain share or a risk share amongst between the buyer and the seller.
Yeah, it's a great start. I'd love to just understand a little bit by, if valuations don't go down, what makes IT services companies so resilient to impact that? I mean, why are buyers still attracted to get a deal done, even if the revenue projections may be relatively flat or profit might be softened?
Well, I think a variety of factors, Brian. One is, and we refer to this on a regular basis, right? The overall supply and demand issue. In addition to, which is just, it's been here for however many years, decades. And I think there's the prediction that talent and capability and the ability to address new opportunities, new business problems for customers, that doesn't change. Period. End of story. You can also see where a buyer, right, they likely are experiencing some softness, and their growth rates may not have met forecast because of just the market conditions. And so that buyer may recognize that it's that much more important to gain a new capability, and also in some cases to gain new customers through acquisition, because in uncertain times and or in headwinds, and what causes those headwinds, the end customers simply aren't spending as much. They pulled back, and when that happens, they don't tend to enter into new relationships. So new customer acquisition gets harder. So a buyer, right, who is having those issues and sees an opportunity to buy a company that has great capabilities, that has a great track record in over the course of the history of the firm, and has great customers, that is of great value in more uncertain and or headwind, market conditions. So just a couple of reasons that we see, we're quite honestly in those discussions right now. And so there can be, it sort of harkens back to the number one thing is the strategic fit between a buyer and a seller. Secondly, the cultural fit. Those things remain consistent, regardless of what the short-term performance is.
Yeah, and no deal gets done without a willing buyer and a willing seller coming to terms. So it's a matter of finding those places in which that corporate strategy is aligned and your culture aligned, the financial fit often the fit will come together. Sometimes the timing of that may be delayed a few months, and trying to find the right suitor. And sometimes in a troubling market environment, that need for that strategic buyer seems even more critical than where financial buyers, especially in a case here where the cost of money has gotten, quite expensive just recently, where it might change some of the equations that a buyer might go into, and a strategic fit becomes really, really important. So finding that right buyer for your business is a huge component of getting the deal done in tumultuous times. Mike, when it comes to, a little bit of valuations, typically when we talk to companies or when we look at evaluation, we're going to look at some historical financials. And we're also going to look for some future financials. And if the It seems like a point in time might be rough, but there could be great historical performance and perhaps great future performance. Can you walk through how perhaps valuation models change and how sellers should think about their projections and why that's important?
Well, I think it's important to understand that, you know, projections are what they are. And, you know, the only thing we absolutely know about all forecasting models is they won't be 100% accurate. However, I think they do have to meet the sniff test of what's plausible. And so let's say you've been running a great business and, you know, you've historically been growing it, you know, 20% year over year for the last 3 or 4 years. And now suddenly you're growing at less than 5%. But you have a plausible reason for that. Like, hey, we found that either market headwinds have been tough and, you know, we're kind of doing, I think, these other things right. And we've made some changes to, you know, optimize the business to get back on track for our typical growth rate. And we are going to, you know, very confident based on sort of our backlog and front log and pipeline that we're going to be growing at a faster rate. And you can, you know, hang together a good, what we'll call a fortified forecast, one that's supported by the data. And then you predict that sort of on a go forward basis. I think most people who are doing evaluation or looking at the business from a buy side will get that, right? They can appreciate it. I think if there's no plausible reason for what we call a big hockey stick increase in the business, meaning suddenly you go from, you know, a run rate to twice that run rate in your forecast on a go-forward basis, that's not going to hold water and it will actually negatively impact your valuation. So I think forecasting becomes really important when you begin to think about, you know, you have to make an argument and support the forecast with the data and with a methodology that a buyer can understand. You get that wrong, it's not going to be it probably won't have the outcome you think it might, which is people will certainly take into consideration the forecast, but they may start doubting other things in your numbers if you do it sort of willy-nilly. So we recommend that, you know, you use an outside valuation advisor or a M&A advisor such as Revenue Rocket to get that right when you begin to think about evaluation. And that, you know, you have someone asking the hard questions about your forecasting methodology and the tools you use to forecast so that the impact on the overall valuation is sound.
You know, in a market like this, in which there, it can be rough on profitability and a company is perhaps struggling to hit the numbers that may have a premium valuation. Is there any, I guess, general advice? And we know that everything needs to be, it depends and it's specific, but is there a general theme in which should companies look to, you know, find ways for growth and continue to hire? Should they cut to increase profitability? There any guidance that you might give a seller on how to position your company in some of these harder times?
Well, you know, it's my opinion that, you know, you need the level of staffing you need to produce, you know, to be able to do the work sustainably and to be able to, you know, manage the growth. And I think every situation is different and every company at a very specific point in time finds themselves in a sort of a different position. And in some ways, you know, people may have a staff that they're kind of holding on to in an effort to support a expected run up in their workload. But in the short term is impacting profitability. I think in hindsight, you'll be able to point to that as the right decision. However, I think if you don't have honest prospects for those folks, you really have to begin to think about how you rationalize them in order to enhance profitability in the short term, particularly if you're looking at doing a transaction in the relatively near term. I think you know, as we know in our industry, you know, valuations are built on profitability, EBITDA, if you will, on multiples of EBITDA. And there is no one size, one rule fits all there. So I want to be clear about that. There's a lot of multiple discussions that float around online and in other places about how, you know, multiple should be this or they should be that for a certain size company or focus area. And I think the only credible way to get, you know, truth when it comes to valuation is to do a real valuation with a qualified firm. But to answer your question more directly, I think, you know, getting your sort of SG&A expenses right as it relates to your contribution margin or profit is super important in the years that lead up to you doing a transaction. And so in some cases, it may make sense that you will cut and optimize for profitability. And in others, it may mean you need to hire, you know, depending on sort of the opportunity for growth.
One area that also jump in, Ryan, I think that it other areas to highlight, and this isn't just in sort of economic uncertain times, but I think it can matter even more, is the strength of your customer relationships, which is demonstrated by your kind of year over year history of working with them, regardless of whether or not that's in a recurring, you know, contractual relationship or not, as well as demonstrating the through the work that you're doing and the relationship that you have, how that customer sees you as a trusted advisor. And the reason that I point to that, it really speaks to strength and stability. And any smart buyer knows that while that customer may not be increasing in uncertain times, that when the winds change, that customer is going to be coming back to that trusted advisor and that trusted supplier that will represent increased growth. So that demonstrating that overall strength of customer relationship, I think, is even more important in times like this. So yeah, just one other highlight.
Yeah, I those relationships are key to, and that's what buyers are looking for. They're looking for great customer relationship. They're looking for great employees, and good times or bad, the best firms are going to have both of those. And owners are looking to create a lasting legacy for both their customers and their employees. And a sale could be the right thing to do at a time in which there could be tumult on the landscape. If I think about our a lot of the people that we deal with, they often have founded a company, you know, 15, 20, even, you know, 25 years ago. Might have as much gray hair as I do. And there's a kind of, they've run a business for oftentimes a very long time. And sometimes it's really hard to be the boss. And sometimes it's really hard to be the boss in hard times. Is this an opportunity for someone to say, hey, let's provide a legacy for the employees and customers, and maybe this is the right time because I just don't want to manage through another downturn. Is that something sellers think about?
I think so, Ryan. And Mike, let me jump in and turn it over to you. I mean, I think that it's absolutely the case. That's why I sort of said when it's time, it's time. Very simplistically, and the steps, right, when the very earliest first step is, especially in a tech services founder led business, middle market, right, are you ready? Is it time sort of like to turn the page into a new chapter, sort of like mentally, emotionally, is it that time? Because if it is that time, that's super important. Right. Because to your point, you may not, right, have you may not have the ability to put everything into the business to work through those cycles. And I think that's super important. The second piece is you know, what is the number? Yeah, everybody wants the very best number, right? But what is the number that you've actually been pointing to for yourself? That it's like, yeah, that's going to be good for me, right? And so I think that being able to answer those questions and then match them up regardless of the economic conditions, you know, I think I think you're onto something. Mike?
Yeah, you know, I think running an IT services business, you know, as an entrepreneur, as a founder, there's certainly been plenty of long, lonely days, right? And there's certainly been a lot of success and challenges along the way. And I think, you know, Matt, you bring up a great point. Eventually there comes a time when, you know, you're ready to sort of be part of something bigger, contribute in a different way, or move on. And I think when you get to that point, like, hey, I'd like to work with more people, more smart people to do things together that we can't necessarily do apart. And now's the time for that. Or you're like, hey, I want to do that for a while, but I'm more interested in, you know, transitioning to something new, which may be retirement, which may be a different career, which may be pursuing a hobby or, you know, whatever it might be. But those inflection points in your life, and we all have them, are important to recognize. And not just, you know, sweep under the rug, right? That those are times to reflect on, you know, maybe it is time to look at, you know, reducing my risk and partnering with a private equity firm to really go big and then kind of take a second bite at the apple. And be in a position to get to the next level and have at least a line of sight, albeit maybe 2 or 5 or 7 years in the future, that you'll be doing something else. Or maybe you're, you know, looking at selling out. You're very clear about that. You've built the business to where you can build it or where you want it to be. And you're like, yep, now's the time. Want to be focusing your time left on this planet in a more you know, whether that be philanthropy or retirement or, you know, wherever it may be. And, you know, your tool for that exit happens, or that transition happens to be an exit in the core business. But I think a lot of it has to do with sort of being true to yourself and your team and partners about, you know, what drives you right now, and then being able to pursue that, you know, with vim and vigor. So that you can make it a reality.
No, that's great. That's great. Before I summarize, any kind of last thoughts, Mike or Matt?
Yeah, I just want to, you know, to Mike's last point, you know, there can also be that in between, right, where you're not necessarily on one end of the spectrum where you're, you know, partnering up with PE and having a big, you know, push, right? It can, you know, or, you know, fully selling out, it can be a step down approach. And I raised that because I was actually thinking about my brother, who wasn't in the IT services business, but he practiced law for a living and he was a partner in a big firm, and he took a step down approach by just taking a job with becoming general counsel with one of his clients. Now, totally different scenario, but it's a step down. And one of his primary reasons, I'll tell you, and this is, I hear this on a regular basis, grandkids and having more time to spend with kids. So I was just thinking about that as an in between, and then, you know, kind of not to be doom and gloom, but sometimes, you know, uncertain times can shine a spotlight that the firm needs help, right? And they may not be able to reach the next level, right, without some help. And so partnering up with other firms, and, you know, by selling your firm is a great means to get some of that additional help. You know, to your question, Ryan, and, you know, kind of final thought is these are not, you know, sort of light decisions, obviously. I think that the reason that we wanted to talk about this is that we hear and see, you know, many owners are like, well, I can't even consider this right now. And that's actually not true. You can consider it. There's a lot of things to consider, but you can consider it. And hopefully this was helpful and sort of, you know, sort of opening up the possibility. And obviously, we'd love to talk.
Yep. Thanks, Matt. So I think, unless Ryan, Matt, you have anything else, it might be that time.
Yeah. I mean, just a quick recap, I think, of what we heard is that, you know, no matter what way the market is trending, IT service companies are really in demand. So buyers are really looking for companies like yours. And even if it is a down market, it still is an opportunity to exit gracefully. We haven't seen valuations come down, and we haven't seen firms walk away from deals because of flatness in growth. There's lots of options for selling in and selling out, and both scenarios are good. I think there's keep in mind both of those can have some risk and reward scenarios that are can be very plentiful for everyone. I heard that valuations will consider kind of past and future performance, and if you're flat now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a discounted valuation, as that future may look just as bright as long as you're measured in your approach is put in forward. And then I heard that sometimes you just need to partner up with firms by selling. You can help you get somewhere that you can't get alone. I think it was a great point, Matt, that sometimes a buyer in a sea that's stormy can be a good port that allows you both to be successful. And then the last thing I heard was, you know, sometimes it's just time to be done. And finding the right buyer is critical to make that happen in the most positive way. That's what I heard. I'll turn it back over to you, Mike.
Sounds great. So with that, I guess we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week's podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I encourage you all to tune in next week. We'll unpack additional topics relevant to IT services firms and tech-enabled services firms as you think about how to navigate the highways and byways of your growth strategy and M&A decisions. Thanks, and make it a great week.